Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF. Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Matsu Valley, streaming live on RadioFreePalmer.org, and all of our podcast episodes can be downloaded from MushingRadio.com. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Dog Works Radio, and we are in the middle of Iditarod, and we finally have some snow coming down here in Palmer. It's been quite a winter here, but for whatever reason, while all the teams are out on the trail, for the first few days they had very little snow, but all of a sudden we have almost a foot here in downtown Palmer. But we have a special guest tonight. Most of the Mushing fans, at least Iditarod fans, will know who we're talking about when we introduce her, but if not, her name is Sabi Flores. She is calling in, I believe, from Fairbanks. Sabi, how are you doing?
I'm good, Robert. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for including us in your busy Iditarod week. I know you and Lance are out and about doing the Iditarod thing. He's on the news pretty much every night, isn't he?
Yeah, it's been quite the week, a couple weeks, and he's been on the news every night, and we're still in Anchorage. We haven't even been able to go back to Fairbanks yet because we've been so busy.
It's a crazy week here. How much snow did you guys get downtown?
A fair amount. I'm not sure how much exactly, but it seemed like it was snowing all night long, which is good.
Awesome.
But people are going crazy. They don't know what to do with it, I think. They forgot we lived in Alaska.
There you go. So before we get too far into this, will you introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you're all about?
Okay. My name is Sabi Flores, and I'm a musician. I am a cellist and singer-songwriter. And so I sing and play cello at the same time and write alternative music.
And have you been doing that most of your life? Are you formally trained? Did you just kind of pick this up? Or what in the world got you involved in playing the cello?
Well, I started from when I was born. My dad used to take to listen to music because his dream was to have me play music. And when I was age one, my dad died. And so my mom knew that was his wish to have me play music. So when I turned four, she started me on the cello, which is her favorite instrument, and I studied the classical method with the Suzuki program. And so it's a pretty strict classical method, but it gives you a good background. So I did that until about 10th grade of high school, and then I went out of state to Idlewild Arts Academy in California. And I was very inspired. I studied with amazing cellist John Welts. And when I came back to Fairbanks, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do music, but I knew the classical regime wasn't really my thing. So I started writing my own songs and basically just having fun with my instrument and enjoying it and, you know, doing what made my passion burn.
Well, you know, I had the pleasure of listening to a few of your songs. We're going to play a couple of them here tonight. But my interpretation of it is kind of like classical music with an attitude, isn't it?
Yep, exactly. And that's what I wanted to, you know, I wanted my personality and attitude to shine through. And classical music, you kind of want to interpret it in your own style, but you also follow it, like how, you know, the composer wrote it. So when you're writing your own music, you can kind of do it how you feel. I mean, it's how you feel, and it's your art. So that's the great thing about it.
Right. You know, I think it's cool stuff. You know, I've listened to a lot of stuff over the years, and I listen to a lot of classical music when I'm on the trail with the dogs, and it just has that beat and that tempo to it. It's definitely good mushing music, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never had the dogs listen to it. What do they? How did they react to that?
Oh no, just me and my iPhone on my, you know, on my iPad. I've never played music for the dogs on the trail. I know some guys do. I know Hugh Neff hooks up some little speakers to a sled somehow and plays Lynyrd Skynyrd and that kind of stuff. So I guess whatever gets them going faster is the stuff that they need to listen to.
So yeah, and I know Jeff King does that too. He has a theme song.
Very cool. But, you know, besides being a musician, you're also turning into quite a musher. I know that just a couple of weeks ago now, you ran in the Denali doubles with Lance. Tell us about your mushing experience.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, when I got through with that, I was like, I want to do this. It was definitely an amazing experience. It was beautiful, and I love being out there with the dogs. And it was just, you know, adventurous. And got your adrenaline running, and it was fun, and the mushers were great, too, meeting everybody. I've heard about all these guys, but we're all scattered throughout the state, so this is the first time I really got to talk to people and get to know people, and it was a really amazing experience. And it was also amazing because I got to be there with Lance, you know, so I kind of got the inside skinny, and I wish there were more races like this.
Yeah, you know, what I was going to mention here. Tell us a little bit, you know, a lot of people listen to the show and they know, you know, your basic mushing event, you know, the single musher with a team of dogs, but the Denali doubles race, it's different than most races that are held throughout North America. What's the format of that? Because there's two mushers with one team, isn't there?
Yes, there's two mushers. And so we had 20 dogs and it was 265 miles. And you start in Cantwell, and then you go to Paxson, and then back to Cantwell. So basically, the sled is your own choice. You can have a whip sled behind you, or what we did was just extended the runners behind and put another handlebar. So we are together, which was really great because we could communicate. And I could, you know, sometimes when you're on the whip sled, you don't really, you can't see the dogs as well because you're so behind. So this was a great experience to be right there, you know.
So with the 20-dog team, are both mushers allowed to feed and handle the dogs, or is that second guy or gal pretty much just the tag-along musher?
Oh, no, you're definitely allowed to do all that stuff. When you I believe when you leave the race, you have to have the musher, the number one musher, in front. But other than that, I mean, you're a team, which is great, and it's great for people like me who are learning, because then I can learn in the right way. And, you know, I feel like sometimes when people learn, you know, maybe a dog gets hurt or maybe they get hurt, or, you know, you just don't know. So this way, I think, you know, we can educate mushers through this.
Yes. Yes. And my last mushing question, of course, this is Mushing Radio, so I had to throw a few of those in there. And I haven't had the pleasure of talking to Lance since he mentioned the ninjas. Can you tell us a little bit about the ninjas? I know a lot of people have heard about them on Facebook and through Lance's posts back and forth. Can you give us a little bit of history about those guys?
Yeah, they're amazing dogs. And most of them are all black. And so it's, in the beginning, it was hard to tell them apart. But they're out of his breeding stock, and he's very excited about them. And over a year old. And he just finished the Rondi with them. So, and they're great. They're amazing, and he's very excited about this group. So definitely keep your eye out for the ninjas.
Awesome. Are we going to be able to see you in more upcoming races possibly next year?
Definitely next year. I was
awesome.
Going to be on one on the 7th, but I just wanted to do the 50-mile, and the 50-mile is canceled. So next year for sure.
Very cool. And I know your new CD is called Dumpster Dreams. Is that correct?
Yep.
Dumpster Dreams, just released here very recently. You're just now out doing some musical gigs. I know you were down in Homer a few days ago. Are you out and about just in Alaska now? You got some shows planned in the lower 48. What's the plan to promote the new CD?
Well, I am actually leaving for Nashville, Tennessee. I have to be there on March 22nd for a gig. I'm opening up for a friend, Roland White, and he was Bill Monroe's secondhand man, basically, and was there from the beginning. So he has a lot of cool history and a lot of good contacts in Nashville. So I'll be going down there and won't be returning to Alaska until around May. I don't have my return ticket yet, so whenever, maybe I'll buy a vehicle down there because it's cheaper, but we'll see.
Of course.
But I'll definitely be back for the summer in Alaska because you can't miss that.
Awesome.
And I'll be gigging this summer a lot.
Awesome. That is very cool. I was an up-and-coming musician, I guess, in college. I was in a band that we called Rainmaker back in the early 90s, and we thought we were going to be the second coming of Nirvana and all that at that time. So I understand that vagabond lifestyle that you're living through right now, just kind of hopping from gig to gig. What's it like, the music scene up here in Alaska? I haven't been a part of it for a while, and obviously living in Willow, I don't get a chance to go down to a lot of the bars and clubs and things to see a lot of music. What is it like up here in the great frontier?
Quite interesting, because as a classical musician, it was a certain way for me, and it was the way of the university, and they are pretty strict, you know, and when I started doing alternative music, they weren't too supportive of it.
Uh-huh.
So it was a struggle for me. And I recently, I think like a year and a half, I've been playing shows by myself as a solo artist. And then every time I play a show, I meet another musician from Alaska, and I get to play with different people. So it's really opened my eyes, because in the beginning I thought, oh, you know, it's pretty clicky, which it can be very clicky, especially in Fairbanks, being such a small town and not many gigs to have. It's a little competitive.
Right.
But I must admit, I'm a Fairbanks girl, born and raised, third generation. So the thought of Anchorage was, you know, the closest city to Alaska. But I'm having my mind changed a little, just coming down here a lot for gigs and meeting great musicians, having great venues to play for. And it's just a great opportunity. And it's nice to be able to stay in my own state and still have opportunity to play shows.
You know, I got to admit, you got some pretty cool music, and we're going to play a song here in just a second. We're going to play Angel first. I know you and I talked a little bit back and forth on our messages, and this is one that you definitely wanted to play. Can you tell us a little bit about this before we play it?
Well, I think that everybody in some level may be able to relate to the song. It's about a very special dog that Lance Mackey had, and when he was for cancer, this dog was basically there for him. He tried to, you know, bring his whole team into the hospital, and that didn't really fly. So they said, okay, Lance, you can have one dog time in the hospital with him. And she basically helped him through it. And the awful, weird part about it is that she ended up dying of cancer. And I was writing this song, I didn't realize that. And he was in the Iditarod at the time. This was last year. I didn't realize that she had died of cancer, and I thought I was just using artistic license when I put that in the song. And then when he came home, he told me that she did. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I feel like I had kind of connection with Angel, even though she's been gone for a while. And every time I play the song, I think of her, and it's one of those songs that makes me cry. And, you know, we all love our animals, and when they pass on, it's like losing your best friend.
Yes, it is. So we're going to go ahead and play that. Guys, it's about 5.5, almost 6 minutes long, so just sit back and enjoy it. This is Sabi Flores and her song, Angel.
Troubles and smoke some good pot. gonna be, yeah. You gave me an angel and took her right back again. She broke trail and led where no one else would go.
Talking to Sabi Flores, and that is her song Angel off her brand new CD Dumpster Dreams. Sabi, are you still with us?
Yep, right here.
That is an awesome song. And you know what's cool about music, no matter who it was written for or who it was written about, everybody has that own way of interpreting that song. You know, when I listen to that, I think to my old dog Aneke and how we had to do that same thing with him several years ago. It's just such a cool, moving song. What a tribute to Angel.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I wish I could have known Angel. She's a very special dog.
Very cool. Well, we have about 9 minutes left. I definitely want to get one more song in. Of course, being in Alaska, we have to talk about The Midnight Sun, and that's the next song that we're going to play. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, it's funny you chose that one. That's a bit irreverent, but, you know, in Fairbanks, we are a bit irreverent. And basically, it's just about adventures, roads of Murphy Dome, and, you know, that's what my friends and I love to do. We love to just leave town and drive out in the old dirt roads and, you know, see this beautiful state. And that's when we feel free and, you know, wild and all that good stuff.
And we have the chance to do that up here 24 hours a day, dang near, in the summer. For folks that haven't lived up here or visited any time in the summer, I remember, Sabi, that my first summer up here, I had a hard time going to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was out cutting the lawn at 2 o'clock. It's tough to get used to if you aren't used to it, isn't it?
It is tough to get used to, but, I mean, it just gives you the excuse to stay up all night long and, you know, enjoy the sun. And, I mean, it's a special place in Alaska in the summer, and there's no other place like it.
That is right. So we're going to go ahead and play Midnight Sun by Sabi Flores. Here we go.
like you so much that I don't even care that my boyfriend don't trust you. Got those big blue eyes and a sunny chin smile. When we fly high. You always be my friend.
And that's Sabi Flores with her song Midnight Sun off of her brand new CD, Dumpster Dream. Sabi, definitely an appropriate song for Alaska and the summer. What a cool way to express yourself, at least for folks that know about hanging out in the middle of the night up here on our long summer days.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love being able to see the moon on one side and then see the sun on the other side when you're standing on a ridge. I mean, that's something magical there.
That is totally cool. Sabi, we have about 3 minutes left. I definitely want to make sure that we tell folks how to get in contact with you, where they can buy your new CD. I'm sure a lot of people have heard snippets of your song but haven't had a chance to hear the whole versions yet, so we definitely want to make sure that we pass that along. But my next question for you is you definitely play that cello with some attitude. I really think that's a cool way to express yourself that way. Do you have a band that you travel with, maybe percussion and whatnot, or is this a one-woman show?
I'm starting to get a band together. So in Fairbanks, I play with a drummer and a guitar player, And we're just getting that going. And then in Anchorage, last show I played with a saxophone player, and then one show I played with a cajon, which is a type of percussion. So, you know, Alaska is such a big state, so I'm not sure how I'm going to basically attack that situation, if I'm going to have bands in Alaska or in Fairbanks and in Anchorage, or just one band that travels with me. But I definitely like playing with people.
Very cool. Where's your next gig, and how can people find out about it?
My next gig is a fundraiser for a place. It's a festival in Fairbanks called Clucking Blossom, and that's at the Marlin on the 14th. And on the 15th, I'm playing at Ivory Jacks. And the 17th, I'm playing for the Arctic Winter Games, which is taking place at Pioneer Park.
And then you're heading
south,
you said.
And then I'm off to Nashville.
Off to Nashville. That is really the big time. When you hit Nashville as a musician, you're going down there to make a name for yourself, aren't you?
Definitely going to try.
Very, very cool. I admire your tenacity. I admire your inspiration. Very cool stuff. How do people get in contact with you? Website, email, any way that you want to share?
Yes. I have a website, sabeflores.com. Sabe, S-A-B-E, Flores, F-L-O-R-E-S, like Sabe is in Spanish. She knows flowers. So if you know a little bit of Spanish, there you go. And my email is sabecello@gmail.com. And you can look me up online. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. All my information is on my website. And I also sell my CD on my website.
Is it going to be available anytime soon on iTunes or Google Play, anything like that?
Yeah, it is. I believe it is for sale on iTunes and also CD Baby. So on CD Baby, you can order the CD or you can just buy one song digitally.
Very cool. We're just about out of time. Sabe Flores, good luck to you in your upcoming mushing adventures. Give our regards to Lance. I hope he's doing well, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, Robert.
And Sabe, you're welcome. Sabe Flores,
cool.
sabeflores.com. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.